Yeah, I'm excited to introduce to you our guest speaker for today, Mr. Cohen Maxwell. Come on up, Cohen. Cohen is one of our graduating seniors. As you can hear, he has his own cheering section over there. They're excited for him. His parents, Daryl and Bridget, have raised tremendous kids, and I'm excited that Cohen is going to preach for us this morning. So let me say a prayer, a blessing over him, and then let him have the floor.
Father, thank you so much for my brother Cohen, for his willingness to step out and to deliver words that come from you. I pray that you will give us all ears to hear. Speak through him as your spirit has been working on what he's prepared. Speak through us so that we hear the message and that your spirit will move in this place. Thank you for Jesus, who binds all of us together by his blood. We pray this in the name that can, the only name under heaven by which we can be saved. Amen. Hey, brother.
Good morning. My name is Cohen Maxwell. I've been a member here for about 5 years, but it feels more like 6, 7. And Robin came to me, I think it was in December or January, and he asked me if I wanted to preach. Of course, I said yes. And that was about 5 months to prepare. So naturally, as a high school senior, I started last week. And that's what you're about to see, but don't worry, you won't notice, I hope. So when I was thinking about a topic to pick, I was thinking about the end of senior year coming up, thinking about the future, the present, but I kind of wanted to focus on the past. And I feel like regret has just been a very prevalent thing in my life. And it's a very personal topic, so I felt comfortable sharing that today. So I kind of just want to share personally why I want to pick that. So I used to live in Arkansas, lived there till I was about 13, and then my dad got a job working for the government here in D.C. So then we decided to move here, and that was around 2020. Of course, that was COVID, so that was a tough time. It was just like very hard to get used to life here, and eighth grade was fine because it was a mix of like online, in-person school. There weren't really a lot of people there. But then I got really into high school, and it was just tough because I left all my friends. I didn't really have a lot of direction. So I just went into school, and I just put my head down, and I didn't apply myself. And 4 years later, I had done the same thing through all those years of high school. So I felt so much regret for doing that. And there were so many things I wanted to do. I wanted to join the track team. I did end up on the rowing team. That was a very interesting experience. It was still fun, though. But I didn't. And it was out of fear. And I don't know. It was really tough. So I want to read from Psalm chapter 51, but first I want to give some context from 2 Samuel. So in 2 Samuel, we see the story of King David and Bathsheba. King David commits adultery, and he has a child with Bathsheba, and he attempts to cover it up by having Uriah come home. Uriah is Bathsheba's husband, and make it seem like the kid is his. That falls through, so then he plots to have Bathsheba's husband killed, which is successful. So he even married Bathsheba, and they had a child together. And he admits that he has sinned, but he still has to face the consequences for his actions. And I'm willing to bet that he faced a lot of regret in that situation. So now I want to focus on Psalm chapter 51, which is a plea by David after he has committed these acts. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Now you'll recognize in their lyrics from Creating Me a Clean Heart, me and Gabe were going to do a duet, but I didn't do my warm-ups today, so you guys won't get that. Now I feel like in these verses, David kind of lays out a blueprint for how we should deal with regret. The first one is that we have to be honest about our sin. Now God does see everything. There's no hiding what we've done. But we can still feel like maybe we're concealing that from him and the people around us. But it takes a lot of courage to just say, God, I have sinned. And this is what David actually admitted to. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. He also mentions his iniquity all throughout the passage, so he's not afraid to admit that his like what his immoral behavior was. So I can imagine that was one of the hardest things he had to do, because of all the things that he had done. I mean, we think about what we've done in our lives. I feel like even after David committed adultery and even murder, he was still able to admit that he had done wrong. And so I feel this a lot, whether it's the shame for like the way I treated somebody, or maybe a test that I cheated on, or that $300 Lego set that I bought, and I built it, and I can't even take it to my dorm, so now it's just going to sit somewhere. But it's this relief when we're able to admit that we have done something wrong. And I imagine that David felt a lot of that when he just got that off his chest. So the second one is that we must remember that God is merciful. So if we go back to Psalm 51, verse 1, we see David say, have mercy on me, O God. I think that when we're in these dark places of regret, we sort of fail to remember God's mercy. And I think a big part of this is that we can't even have mercy for ourselves sometimes. I remember I had a therapy session, and my therapist was sitting across from me, and he said, like, imagine your younger self is sitting in the chair next to me. What would you say to them? And honestly, I didn't have much good to say. And it's because I couldn't forgive the past version of myself, so I couldn't move past that, and so I couldn't even bring that to God to tell him about that. David also asks if God could blot out his transgressions. We see something similar in Isaiah 43, verse 25, where God declares, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. So God says that he can forgive our sins, but he can also simply not remember them. Kind of what Sean was talking about. He just doesn't remember if we bring it to him. I've had a lot of moments where I've asked for forgiveness, but I just didn't feel like I deserved it. And I woke up the next day with a weight on my shoulders, but that's like where the work comes in. We have to not only ask for forgiveness, but we have to grow and change from those moments and also have mercy for ourselves. So I think the third takeaway is that our mistakes do not define us in God's eyes. This kind of goes in line with the last point, because in God blotting out our transgressions, he won't remember our sins. Therefore, we are clean in his eyes. David also says, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. So God sees us for who we are inside. Sometimes I feel like we walk around sort of wearing our sin on the outside, and we think that everybody can see every terrible thing that we've done. But that's just not true. I saw this movie Thunderbolts earlier this month. It was really good. And there was this one scene that hit me really hard. I'll kind of explain the movie briefly. So the team is made up of people who have done bad things in their past. And then they come together to, like, save the day, like a superhero team would. But the scene I'm talking about involves the main character. Her name is Yelena, and she's talking with her dad. And in this moment, she's just, like, breaking down. And she says, "I'm so alone. All I do is sit and look at my phone and think about all the terrible things that I've done. And then I go to work, and I come home, and I think about all the terrible things that I've done. Again and again and again." And her father says, "We all have things that we regret." And she responds with, "No, but I have so many." And then he says, "I know there were dark times, very, very dark times, but before you were such a special little girl. Do you know that? You walked into a room, you made it brighter." And then she says, "I don't remember that feeling." And then he says, "You were so kind. That girl is still in you. I still see her. You're stuck. You're alone. You look only at the bed. When I look at you, I don't see your mistakes. That's why we need each other." So in that moment, it felt like God was speaking through the screen. I don't know. It was just very powerful. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see our mistakes. It doesn't matter how much regret we have and how long it's built up, he sees the inward character, and he loves us as his children, because that's what we are. Whether we feel worthy or not, whether we feel that regret has pushed us to our absolute limit, there's no way that God would love us any less. So now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for allowing me to come up here. I know it was really short, way shorter than I expected, but thank you for the opportunity nonetheless. I pray that you bless everybody in this room, all these amazing people, and I pray that you forgive us of our sins, blot out our transgressions, and remember our sins no more. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.